every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As the crippled man who had been cured clung to Peter and John, all the people hurried in amazement towards them in the portico called Solomon's Portico. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "You children of Israel, why are you amazed at this? And why do you look so intently at us, as if we had made him walk by our own power or piety? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence, when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name, this man whom you see and know, his name has made strong. And the faith that comes through it has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now I know, brothers and sisters, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment and send you the Christ already appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of universal restoration, of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old. For Moses said, a prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen in all that he may say to you. Everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be cut off from the people. Moreover, all the prophets who spoke from Samuel and those afterwards also announced these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors when he said to Abraham, in your offspring all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name over all the earth. What is man that you should be mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you should care for him? O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. You have made him little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet. O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. All sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the path of the seas. O Lord, our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of bread.
While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Peter, in the first reading from Acts, is still preaching to the assembled Jews on the Feast of Pentecost. And he doesn't exactly let the general crowd off the hook, saying to them as well as to the leading Jewish officials, "You handed Jesus over and denied him in Pilate's presence. You acted out of ignorance, but now you can repent and you can have your sins wiped away." And we know that 3,000 of them did just that on hearing him. They were baptized. In the gospel, the disciples were talking about the surprising experience of meeting Jesus while they were walking, when suddenly he appears again, this time in their midst, saying, "Peace be with you." But they're startled. Peter, in Acts, is saying, in effect, you shouldn't be so surprised that what was foretold has come to pass and that Jesus, the Messiah, is now raised from the dead. But even Peter, let's admit, was afraid and denied our Lord. And so he's accusing the Jews of having done something that he himself is probably guilty of. "Let him who's without sin cast the first stone." It's not bad faith that people are surprised at someone returning from the dead or his appearing out of nowhere in their midst. We pray with a kind of hope against hope sometimes, asking in good faith that God will bless us with what we're seeking, but maybe just a little bit afraid to assume that it will come about exactly as we've asked. Are we guilty in these instances of a lack of faith? Well, the truth is, it's not unusual. Jesus himself prayed, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup." Even though Jesus and his path to the resurrection and ascension had been set and were a given, we want to believe that our prayer is enough, that God will hear and grant what we need. And still we pray, "Lord, graciously hear us." In other words, we're asking you, hear us and show us your favor, granting what we ask in all humility and in all sincerity, if it be your will. And it's that "if" that makes us unsure. We don't know the Father's will, so we don't always allow ourselves to say, "I know that if I ask this, you will grant it to me." The saints seem a little surer on that point, and that's why they're the saints. St. Thomas Aquinas quotes St. Augustine about God's answers to our prayers. "He who faithfully prays to God for the necessaries of this life is both mercifully heard and mercifully not heard. For the physician knows better than the sick man what is good for the disease." So God is going to surprise us by his response. Just as God surprised the disciples with the presence of Jesus and surprised the Jews gathered for Pentecost by inviting them suddenly to be baptized, to repent and to come into this fold, sometimes it's the swift granting of our request. Sometimes it's just an awareness that we've seen or heard something that we are pretty sure is an act of God. And sometimes it's the confidence that Jesus is nearby or that the Holy Spirit is showing us our way that we need to navigate through something. The important thing is that we continue to pray, regardless of whether we're sure of an answer or simply throwing ourselves at God's feet.
The preceding podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta. Copyright 2024.